I had some thoughts on, I was at conference, and three times I heard this said. It says, preach nothing but repentance. I didn't hear the faith part, but usually it's preach nothing but repentance is what I was hearing. I actually looked up the scripture on that. Now, what I would like to know is I wasn't really settled in my mind what that meant. And, you know, what does it mean? You know, it's a simple message, isn't it? Preach nothing but repentance. And so I took it upon, and is it true? And so I looked it up, and sure enough, my memory was right. It was in the scriptures a couple of times. And this is one example. So I want for us to know, you know, are we doing correctly? Are we doing according to the Lord's commandment? But we, I better get my books in just a second, because I have a few scriptures I'm going to read here. But the first one is Mosiah 11, 101. It says, for there was nothing preached in all the churches except it were repentance and faith in God. And I kind of took that differently, and I remember something about this, and I had my ideas on it, but I thought I would give it a good shakedown, and I came to a different conclusion, like I often do when I'm going to preach these things. I have a thought in mind, and my opinions change. And so another like verse is 4th chapter of Matthew 12 and 17. It says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That very message. Who said that very same words before Christ? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No answers? John the Baptist. If you turn right back at chapter 3, you're going to find those exact same words spoken by John the Baptist. And now it was Christ's turn. And it's really interesting, the sequence of events and the things that, as we was going over in Sunday school, things had to happen exactly on time, and they couldn't happen early. And, you know, it was now the preparer's way. If you read Malachi 3, it talks about John the Baptist preparing the way, and he would go before Christ. Well, he had to do that. And so he was 6 months or so older than his brother, cousin, and he went before the Lord. And so he opened up the ministry, and now it was Christ's turn to present that message, that same message. I have one here. Repent, therefore, turn back in your sins that may be blotted out. So what do they mean by that? That repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or what does repent mean? What does repent mean? Just that far, this so far. What does repent mean? Anybody have an idea? I know you all know. What was that? What is it to repent?
Ask for forgiveness.
Ask for forgiveness, yeah.
Be sorry.
Be sorry.
Turn away from what you were doing.
Yeah, as this verse says. Excellent, yep. Exactly. But, you know, it's not, I'm sorry, Lord, and going right back to it. Repenting is a change of life. If you're truly sorry. Another verse we have here, preach nothing save repentance and faith. And he did teach them, and did preach unto them repentance and redemption and faith on the Lord. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called as people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens. So, you know, when we make that covenant, when we enter this church, we do bear one each other's burden. We become a family, and we actually encourage one another and help out, you know. And that's what makes this special. That's why the Lord called us sons and daughters, and we call each other's brothers and sisters. We bear each other's burdens. We care about it.
And often those bonds can exceed the bonds we have with physical family, when our physical family is not part of that union. 41. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your heart, what ye have against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye are willing to serve and keep his commandments. So that is the purpose of baptism, is it not? To show the world, you know, it's not a something done in secret like they would have us believe. It's something done in public. It's a public demonstration of your covenant that you're making with the Lord. And if others that practice other ways to do it, like altar calls and things, I guarantee they're going to do it more than once in their life. I guarantee it. Baptism? Not so much. The world sees it. You know the day you went and were baptized. It's a covenant before the world. That he may pour, that keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly on you. So by making that covenant, these people, actually were going to obtain the Holy Spirit. And this is prior to his death on the cross, so it was given. You know, it was given before his cross and to these people and in the Old Testament also. But it was given that as an abiding comforter, his Holy Spirit. A seal. To make them his. And that's what they need when they die, that seal. Yea, even it commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord who redeemed his people. So you got two thoughts here. On the one hand, he teaches them baptism. He teaches them into redemption, the plan of redemption. And he talks of faith and repentance. But then he tells them to teach nothing but repentance and faith. And that you see my dilemma here. What did he mean? Was it for a certain people? Is it for us? Are we still to preach that way today? These are the questions I kind of had going in. And I had my thoughts. And like I say, I changed them a little bit on what that meant. So it's a worthy study, is it not, today? To know what he's talking about. I want to give you the definition of faith. I know you've seen this before, but the world will tell you something different. This is right out of Strong's, our authority. It says, the word comes from, I'm not going to pronounce it, Greek 4102, faith, the conviction of truth of anything, belief. So that's one of the primary factors what faith means, belief. In the New Testament, conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Generally, with the included idea of trust. See, a devil will believe, but he doesn't trust in God, does he? He knows positively God, Jesus Christ, is God and Lord. But he doesn't have that trust in God, does he? And holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. And the last part of this, fidelity, faithfulness. These three parts, as defined by Strong's, make up the word faith. Fidelity means how you replicate the original. How you replicate it. Do you do the things that he showed us to do? Faithfulness. How well do you do those? How are you faithful in doing the things he commanded us to do? And all three of those are make up the full definition of faith. And, you know, I can read James, where he tells us that work is a part of the faith. If you don't have that, it's not really faith. And you won't make it. Okay? Just to know, just to believe is not enough. Just to believe and trust is not enough. You have to do something. And this repentance is one thing. That's a work. Baptism is a work. These things are necessary. And I could read many scriptures, but that's not the purpose today. Moroni 7:28 says this, for he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. Okay? And that they have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore, he advocated the cause of the children of men, and he dwelt eternally in the heavens. You know, this definition tells you there is a work to do. You will cleave to everything, or it's not faith. You will do. And you'll read Hebrews 10. All those examples of faith that these different men showed, every one of them had a work. It was when they actually did that, they had faith. Faith is the substance, and you know, 11 Hebrews 10:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of not seen. So, what is that substance? It is works. It is the things that we're commanded to do. Otherwise, we're not saved by faith, because it's not faith. Defining repentance and faith. Mosiah, really good one here. And I don't have any slides today, so I hope I time this right. The plan of salvation through faith. Mosiah, but woe unto them that knoweth that he rebels against God. So you have to have that knowledge, don't you? For salvation come unto none such, except through repentance and faith. There it is again. On the Lord Jesus Christ. Mosiah 1:22. And behold, when he had that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God except little children, only through repentance and faith in the name of our Lord God omnipotent. And so I was going to turn to that because it talks twice about this faith and repentance that I want to know about, and I hope you do too. And it tells us and it defines it more clearly. So I'm going to turn to page 217 and start reading there. It clarifies many things of the gospel of Christ. Page 107 through 109 first. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins who have fallen by the transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or have ignorantly sinned. You know, it tells us in the scriptures, he that's given more is expected. And we're all judged according to our knowledge. Now we all know good from evil, every one of us, because he gives us that spirit of not, you know, right from the beginning, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, he gave them that spirit to know good from evil. And nobody had to tell them that they were naked. They knew that was sin. And so, right off the bat, and the spirit of Christ is given to every man to know good from evil. I think that's Moroni 7 is another place you can find that. So we all know that, but let's say somebody doesn't know they're to be baptized. Let's say they don't know anything about the church. They won't be required of that, but they still have a knowledge of good and evil. So everybody's judged on a different scale depending on their knowledge. 108. But woe unto him that knoweth and he rebelleth against God, for salvation cometh to none such except to repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has sent his holy prophets among the children of men to declare these things unto every nation, kindred, tongue, whereby whosoever should believe on Christ should come, the same should receive a remission of sins and rejoice with exceeding great joy. So that there it is again, that repentance and that faith. Let's skip back. What is that rebellion they're talking about? Knowing that he rebels against God. So I want to turn back a couple of pages. It defines us. Some might think that rebellion is actually the unforgivable sin. It's not. It's just the knowledge that you are sinning against and going against God. And knowing the plan of salvation if you don't accept that plan of salvation. And let me confirm that by reading a page back. 74 says this. For behold, there is woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that spirit. For if he listeth to obey him and remaineth and die in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his soul. And that word, that's an old time word there. It means desire, listeth, list. It means to desire. So if you desire to follow sin, And each one of us basically do. We're of the natural man. But if you follow through on that until you're dead, you are damned. For he receiveth the wages of everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law contrary to his knowledge. I say unto you, there is not one among you except little children that has not been taught concerning these things, but knoweth that ye are eternally indebted to your heavenly Father. So they had that knowledge, but I want to read ahead where it says that they're in rebellion. They rebelled. To render him all that ye have and are, and also have been taught concerning the records that are contained in the prophecy spoken by the holy prophets, even down to our father Lehi left Jerusalem. So they had the plates of brass in front of them. And also all that have been spoken by our father until now. And behold, also they spake that which was the commanded of them of the Lord. Therefore, they are just and true. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary that has been spoken, and withdraw yourself from the Spirit of the Lord, it may have no place in you to guide you in the wisdom's path, ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. I say unto you, that if a man that doeth this thing, the same come out in open rebellion against God. So that's your definition. It's knowing the truth. Every one of you knows the truth. Okay? And that's what he was telling them. They all had been taught these things. Now you're required. Now you are responsible for yourself to make that covenant with Jesus Christ and to keep that covenant. There's no more ignorance among the people that have heard that. 114 through 127. We'll continue with that. Message of faith and repentance. And if it were possible that little children could sin, they could not be saved. But I say unto you, they are blessed. Meaning, they are saved. If we lose a little child, the one that will suffer is not that little child. He'll be directly with God. The one that will suffer is the ones that are left behind. And it's a sad, sad day, no doubt. But they are safe with God. Any little children. For behold, as in Adam, by nature they fall, even through the blood of Christ, atoneth for their sins. So that on the cross, those that die in their youth, in their youngness, in their birth, in their toddling stage, are saved through his sacrifice on the cross. And moreover, I say unto you, that there shall be none other name given, nor other means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in the name through the Christ, Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judges, and his judgment is just. And the infant that perish, and the infant perish not, and dieth in his infancy. So he is saved, is what that means. But men drink damnation to their own souls. Now he's talking about the adults. Except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come. And through the atoning blood of Christ, Lord omnipotent. Sorry, period. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. Our natural bodies are inclined to sin. That is our nature. You know, that's what we want to do. That's what this body wants to do. It's an enemy to God. And we must change that. The devil likes us just the way we are. You don't have to make any changes. You're his. But if you yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and become a saint. So we become saints, don't we? Through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. You know, the Lord instills that in us. It works within us. Those are qualities that he wants to live with, and he's only going to live with these type of people. And he gives us the Spirit to develop into that type of individual. That's who he's going to live with. And that spirit molds us into that image. But we have to submit. Willing to submit the things the Lord sees fit to inflict upon us. And that's the same in the Bible you find chastising. The Lord will chastise us. You know, what good does it leave to live comfortable for 100 years on this earth and then spend forever and ever and ever in hell? You know? I hope he chastised me. He says he chastises those he loves. So that's a hint that you're one of his, isn't it? He chastises his children. To submit to all things which the Lord sees inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall be spread throughout every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless, except it be little children through repentance. There it is again. And faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. So there's going to be a time that once they hear this story, once they hear the gospel, once they hear that they have to do these things and repent and be changed and change their life, then none are innocent except they follow in and make a covenant before the God. They have to do that covenant. I think I'll. I will read 27, 26 and 27. Wherefore they shall be judged every man according to his works. It's a work, isn't it? We are judged. You can find that in the Bible too. It's clear as day in Revelations. We're judged according to our works, whether they be good or evil, or whether they have been evil. And if they be evil, they are kind to an awful view of their own guilt and abominations, which doeth cause them to shrink from the presence of the Lord in a state of endless torment, whence they can no more return. Okay, they can't return from there, can they? Therefore, they have drunk damnations to their souls. You know, the Word of God, you know, it's sharp. It's very sharp. You know, you can't read very far, and it says, if you do this, you're going to live with me. Don't do that, and you're going to live in hell. You don't hear that message much in the world. But it's sharp. And he wants us to present it that way. These are his words. They're not mine. He says, if you don't do these, you're going to go to hell. And the world can't preach that message because they won't get paid anymore, will they? I think I'd have been fired long ago had I been paid. You know, the natural man, you know, we all want to, we have to lead. What's the opposite of submissive, meek, humble, patience, full of love? That's the natural man, isn't it? That's what we are, and we have to overcome. Full of pride. We want to please men. We want to please other people. And that's just our nature. How many days can you go without saying, I did this or I did that? It's not long. Catch yourself. Listen for it. We all want to be recognized. We want to all have that respect in the world. But I tell you, you know, those that have families, if you want to please God and not man, raise your children in this gospel. It gives them a shot. The world has little shot if they're not, don't hear this gospel message, that repentance and faith in God. Scriptures tell us that train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will return. He will come unto God. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But it gives us that hope, and I think we can always hang our hat on that. If we present our children every day to this gospel, every week, you know, it gives them a shot, and that will please our Lord, no doubt about it. It might be the most pleasing thing that you could ever do to God. Is bringing your children up in the way they should go. Thinking of them, not yourself. Clarifying, saved and repentance of faith. Hebrews 5, I'll just read these on a page here. But that's the gospel. We're all familiar with the gospel as laid out in Hebrews, the gospel of salvation. This is part of it. For in the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles and oracles of God, and are become as such that have need of milk and not strong meat. So he's telling these people, whether it's Apollo here or it's Paul, whoever the apostle is, he's telling them, this church over in Hebrews, they need the gospel again. They don't know the scriptures. For everyone that has used milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And then he tells them to go on perfection. But he lays out these six things about salvation that people have to do. They must do. They must believe, you know, in these things. And it's very famous in our church. We teach them these six principles that they have to do. They have to have faith, and they have to repent, which means change. You don't repent and then go back into that sin. That's not repentance. Laying on the hands for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you have that Spirit to teach you. You still have free moral choice, moral agency and choice, but he's going to make recommendations to you not to do this, to do that. You know, he's going to chide you. And that's what that Holy Spirit is. It also seals you when you die. You read Romans 8. It says, if you don't have that Spirit when you die, what happens to you? Alma 16. That Spirit removes that conscious, that thing we were given, that consciousness, conscience, that told us good from evil, it removes to you. And what happens to our life at that time if we didn't make that covenant with Jesus Christ? What does Alma 16 say? I'm going to turn to it. If you procrastinate the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subject to the spirit of the devil, and he does seal you his, and the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and has no place in you, and the devil has all power over you. This is the final state of the wicked. Harsh, to the point, piercing. Word of God. You know, and I looked also, and I made this reference here, these principles here, because Paul obviously didn't teach faith, repentance, baptism, laying on the hands, eternal judgment, every time he came to this church. Because he's saying, he was chiding them. Why do I have to teach you again? You're not skilled in the word. So, and then he goes on to perfection. If you keep reading in Hebrews here, he says, you must carry on. After you've made that covenant, and most of us have, after you've made that covenant, then you have to have the endurance of faith, faithfulness, coming to church, praying to the Lord every day, every keeping him in mind, helping one another, bearing each other's burdens. That's faithfulness, the endurance of hope. You must have that number one hope that you want to live with God and be like him. That should be your driving force in your life. If it's not, you're going to steer off course. If you think that house down the road is the best thing you could ever have in your life, that's where you're going to have. I bet you'll have it someday. But you're going to steer off course. What is the endurance of hope? You have to keep that hope in mind. And the endurance of love, that charity. And the Lord does that within us. But we still have, you know, we have to show each other charity. We can't always think of me, me, me. We have to think of our children. Other people. That's the difference. And I also include the Sermon on the Mount here for a contrast so we can kind of get a grasp on what that Because Christ says he started preaching repentance, and he also said, you know, through his Holy Spirit, that it's faith and repentance that we have to teach, and only those things. So on the Sermon on the Mount, I looked at it, and you won't find the word repentance once. And you know, I'm struggling. Because I came to the conclusion at this point in my study or sermon, if you will, that he was talking about repentance and faith, meaning the gospel of Christ. And it is. But it includes all the gospel of Christ. Because what the Lord is teaching here, he's teaching righteous living, which does include repentance. How to live our lives right. So in that, he is teaching, you know, this faithfulness, this righteousness, this repentance, always remaining in a state of repentance. A great commission, sharp as a two-edged sword. And he said unto them, go ye in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You know what? If you look up a picture and Google it, what picture are you going to see when you quote this scripture? It's not going to include the last part, for sure. You'd be hard-pressed to find that whole verse there. If you quote it, it's going to say, go into the world and preach the gospel. That end of sentence, period. They don't want to teach that other part. It's hard. It's forceful. And not many men can preach it out there and not be removed from the bishops. Not in the Church of Christ, but in the world. People don't want to hear, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's a harsh gospel, but one the Lord wants us to push. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even those, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's sharp. The gospel is sharp. Moroni 10:29. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfect. Whoop. Let me back up a thought. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfect in him. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourself all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then his grace is sufficient for you, and by his grace you be made perfect in Christ. And I don't read this scripture very often because I don't have a good grasp of it. Sure, everybody would agree, deny yourself of all ungodliness. Deny yourself of all ungodliness. It's said twice there. You know, we sin daily. And how can we deny ourselves of all ungodliness? But that's what he expects. He expects us to strive for that. And if we do that, you know, of course we're going to make it through the Lord's grace. It's sufficient. But it's a hard statement. It's an extremely hard statement. And you probably won't hear me read it again. I don't know. But I can't do that. I cannot achieve to remove myself from all ungodliness. I can cut out gross sin. I can do that. And I don't believe I have any of that in my life. But to sin, I sin probably daily. Commission and omission by the things I do or don't do. Let us turn over to Galatians 5:19. And Paul was a little bit... Paul didn't know these things assuredly either. And sometimes he says, this much I know about this. I know you can't have gross sin. This much I know. But the other stuff, you know, he struggled with them, even himself, even Paul. Now the works of the flesh, same as the natural man, aren't they? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So how do we know that we're committing the works of the flesh? They're manifested this way. Adultery. That's, you know what that is. It's without marriage. Somebody's married in this situation. Or remarried without cause. Fornication. That's this without marriage, isn't it? Uncleanliness. Let me read a few. I'll read these and I'll read the interpretation. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. That's that word we covered today, sedition. It's trying to overthrow governments for the sake of power. Heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Point blank, you don't hear that much in the world either. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you're living in these things. The interpretations: indecency, shameless contact, impure motives, worship false gods, strife, contentiousness, unrighteous zeal, jealousy, uproar, carousing are some of the Strong's words for those words I just read. So again, these are sharp things. And I can't tell you, I don't know, this probably isn't a complete list of gross sins. He gives it over in Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He gives it over in Colossians. He mentioned these things. And I believe Ephesians also. But these are the list. These are gross sin. If you're doing those things, by all means, get out of them. Because guess what? If you're doing them, you're not going to live with God. Sharpness. The doctrine of not preaching faith. Do we know any doctrines that are not preaching repentance and faith? You're going to hear it from the pulpit from the Church of Christ for sure. But do we hear any of those doctrines that aren't? Nehor in the Book of Mormon is a good example. Declare unto the people that... And let me read what that is, just for those that can't see it out there. Alma 1, 5 and 6, 18. Declaring unto the people that every high priest, teachers, had ought to become popular, and they ought not to labor with their own hands for a living, but they ought to be supported by the people. And he testified unto the people that all mankind should be saved at the last day. Boy, that's a popular message. Isn't that a great message? Who wouldn't support that? And they that need not fear nor tremble, but they might be lifted up their head and rejoice. Don't worry about that other stuff. Where does that lead? If you preach that gospel, where does that lead? And behold, thou art not only guilty of priestcasts, Nahor, but thou hast endeavored to enforce it by the sword. And were priesthood to be enforced among this people, it would prove their utter destruction, entire destruction. Enforced means everybody believes that, in that it was the way of life, okay? Priestcraft. Why would that destroy a nation? Why would that destroy a nation? Let us continue. I think we'll answer that question. But remember, if a priestcraft goes across a country, it works to destroy it. Do we have that present in the United States? Any of that? Alma 10:105. Examples. And they repented not of their sins, ascribing all power to Amulek, to the devil. For they were professions of Nehor. Remember that name? And they did not believe in repentance of their sins. But as to the people that were in the land of Ammonite, they were remained hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. See where that leads? They won't repent. And if they don't repent, they're none of His. And that nation's evil. And know what happens to the nation that's evil in the United States? This land is blessed. If they don't follow God, what happens to them?
If they don't follow God, what happens?
Destroy it. And that's why He made that statement. If they all turn that way, He would destroy them. And He did destroy the Nephites, did He not? That doctrine of not following repentance, this hardness, this sharpness, that when it's not preached anymore, it leads to no repentance. I'm fine. Who are you to judge me? That's where it goes. Other doctrines that teach that same thing around in the day, doctrines that promote not repenting in this life, purgatory, that doctrine. Baptism for the dead, that doctrine. Grace, we're saved by grace alone. That doctrine. What does that promote? That promotes no repentance. Because, and I heard it. You know, and I heard a new one, even this last couple of weeks or so. It says, everybody's going to be saved out there, except if you deny the Holy Spirit. That's about everybody. That is about everybody. And what's that promote? We're wasting our time here. We don't have to be encouraged. Live your life the way you want. Just don't deny the Holy Spirit. That doctrine that you can always be saved in the hereafter, it promotes not repenting. It's the most abominable. Name another one that's more abominable. I don't know of any. Because it teaches us not to repent. It teaches us we don't care about sin. And that's prevalent out there. You read that little sign there. And that is, you know, you can read it. When you sin, ask yourself, you can ask two questions, the wrong question. How can I fix this? How can I change my life? They say, that's the wrong question. The right question is, what has Jesus done to fix it? In other words, sin doesn't matter. That's being promoted out there. That's the worst doctrine you could ever believe. Because soon you won't repent anymore. Soon you'll be in gross iniquity. Alma 9, 40 through 41 and 46. And we see that death come upon mankind. Yea, death which is spoken by Amulek, and which is a temporal death, in other words, physical death. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto men in which he might repent. Therefore, this life became a probationary state. A time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for the endless state which has been spoken by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. It is appointed unto man that they must die. After death, they must come to judgment. Even the same judgment I have spoken of, which is the end. You know, immediately after we die, we're judged. Immediately. And we're put in either to a holding cell, if you will, it's called hell, or we're put into paradise. We're judged at that time. There'll be another further judgment, a white throne judgment, if you will, but at the resurrection. But immediately we're judged, which is our probationary state, which is a life that we can do works. This one only. There's no living. I've heard countless. Our children die, they're going to be raised in the millennial, and then they'll have a choice. The scriptures don't tell us that. We just read it. Our children that die in their infancy are saved. They don't have to make any changes. They're perfect before God. It's us that need to change. Preach nothing save repentance and faith. Last slide. For the good that I would... Oh, I think I forgot one, didn't I? I think I forgot a scripture up above. Alma 16, 228. You read part of this. Let me read the full thing. since we have 5 minutes still. Almost 16. Start with 228, I think. On page 430. For behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. And behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. It's pretty. I can't think of. Can't get my mind around how people can think they're going to die, and they're going to do work. I can't get my mind. And even if you believe that, it is a wrong message. It goes against repentance and faith. It is totally such a thing that will lead you to back into abominable sin. And now I say unto you. As I said to you before, we just read it. As ye had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you, that ye may do not procrastinate the day of repentance until the end of this life. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, but if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein what can be no labor performed. No repentance. That's a labor. No baptism. That's a labor. It's over. This life. And like I say, people are judged differently on their knowledge, but we all have that spirit of good and evil. And now you're all no requirements. Now you're required to make a covenant. Every one of you. And you cannot say, when you are brought to that awful crisis, I will repent and I will return to God. Time's over. Once we're dead, no works. You cannot say this. The same spirit that has possessed your bodies in the time that you go out of this life, the same power will have possessed over your body in eternity. For behold, if you procrastinate the day of your repentance even until death, behold, you have become subject to the devil, and he does seal you his. If you don't have that seal of Christ by the laying on of the Holy Ghost at baptism, you're not sealed God's. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, that conscience, and has no place in you. And the devil has made all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. I can't see any way around it. That is what we're supposed to preach with sharpness.
That is what we're supposed to preach with sharpness.
Last one. Romans 7:19 through 21 and 8:1. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that which I do. Now, this is probably the hardest six or seven verses in the to interpret. What Paul is telling us is his body is tormented with that fight. And he struggles. He sins daily. I don't think Paul ever got back into gross sin. I don't believe that for a minute. But each sin of omission and the sin of commission, the little sins, he was still struggling with. And he was till the day he died. And that's what this is talking about. Now if I do that which I would do not, it is no more that I would do it, but the sin that dwells in me. This body is the natural man he gave us. It wants to do the things of the flesh. The new body will not. It will be inclined to serve God. But this body wants to do evil. And his mind struggled with that. I find then the law that when we would do good, evil is present with me. And then he has a words of encouragement at the end here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh. So you can't turn to that gross sin and be saved, but after the Spirit. So we have to you know, not commit to gross sin. We can't be in that. And then every day of our life, it says, I have one last one over here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what the Lord expects us. By fighting that repentance, you know, it's not a one-time thing that we repent. It's each and every day we fight this fight, and we should see results every week that we're a little better person. That's what God expects from us. And if we do that, then He will save us in the end. But that's what He expects from us. And all along, and I have to turn to it since I have 1 minute. Philippians 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only. So this is Paul. He's saying, you have obeyed, but not in my presence only. But now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's a fight. Every day we have to fight. And that's what that repentance and faith means. That is so key to the gospel. Teach nothing but faith and repentance. It's righteous living. That's part of repentance. It's the whole gospel. You know, it's not just repent once at the time of baptism. That repent, when he says we're to preach nothing but this faith and repentance, he's talking about teach them not only the gospel to come to him in repenting, but that covenant and how to live righteously. That's what he's talking about. We have to work out our own salvation. We'll always have that free moral agency. For it is God that work within you, both to do His will and His good pleasure. And as we fight, the Holy Spirit will work within us to change us. And how many have we seen pass from this life that had made that change? Many. Many go, they have been molded. It's such a relief to see the gospel of Christ working with those that have passed. And, you know, those that have been molded in His image. And I hope I live to a older age, if you will, that the Lord can continue to work with me to put me in that image also.